Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. We are again Chip Patterson-less. This is Kyle Porter. And we've got another friend of the show, Brendan Porath, SB Nation, Shotgun Start, Golf Channel, all the outlets. Brendan, how are we doing?
Kyle, it's great. Great to be here. Appreciate it. I can never fill the shoes of Chip, but I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Yeah, how's you're on Morning Drive this week on Golf Channel. Everybody check it out. Sure. How's it been going?
Good. They're giving me a little latitude now. I was going off about all the backboarding controversy, kind of stirring the pot, you know, mix it up a little bit. Talking about Brooks Koepka's, you know, using, I think we're going to talk about Brooks today, but just using PGA Tour events as practice. So, yeah. It's been good. I really like the crew down here. You know them pretty well. They're good people behind the scenes and in front of the camera. So
yeah, they're great. I'm heading back down there here in a couple of weeks for round two. This is like round three or four for you. I imagine you just walking into those, like, you know, 5:15 production meetings, just hollering about, you know, the grandstands at these events and just going off about Shea Reve and them just staring at you like, what are we doing?
Yeah, we've had this running joke this week because I've been, you know, I'm getting a little more comfortable throwing things out. There's this behind the paywall joke that we keep, you know, they don't leave the newsroom or production meetings like, oh, well, that segment will stay behind the paywall here. So, there's been several of those actually this week alone. So not all my ideas make it in the show.
Yeah, you gotta pay for play, baby. Okay, let's start with Brooks because I want to talk about this. It's
okay.
I wrote about this yesterday. I'm struggling for answers in terms of his, like, the disparity between his major play and his non-major play. Everybody knows the numbers: first or second in five of the last six majors, T50 or worse in five of his last six PGA Tour events. And so I think the thing that kind of like gets me is he goes into the Travelers and he's like, oh, I'm going to treat this like a major. And then he's still T56 and you're like, well, is it as simple as saying like he can't trick himself into like making non-majors majors?
Right. What were the numbers again for the non-majors you said? What were his last, like, many results?
He has one finish inside his last six non-majors inside the top 50.
Which is what, the Nelson? He was like fourth or something?
He was fourth. Everything else is T50 or worse.
Wow. Well, I think it's more of like you are who you are. Like you can't tell Steph Curry that, you know, a February Tuesday night game against the Suns is the same as, you know, game six of like the Western Conference Finals or game one of the NBA Finals. Like you can't, it just, no matter how you try to trick yourself into it or play, you know, mind games with yourself and, you know, whatever internal weight you want to assign it, the end of the day, it is what it is for you. You know, and that's clearly how Brooks approaches it. Maybe, you know, a Jason Day or Ricky Fowler or, I don't know, Rory McIlroy, any, like, different guys can approach weeks in different ways, trying to get different things out of them. Sometimes it's a paycheck. Maybe it's reps for a major. Maybe it's, I don't know, trying to win an event to add to your resume. There's all sorts of different, or maybe it's trying to, you know, sell mortgages. Whatever it is, like, there's different motivations, but Brooks clearly approaches It's you can't turn it off. You can't just turn it off. He's trying to trick himself. He's, what do you tell Ricky Elliott? Like, I'm taking a major mentality. And you're doing that like 72 hours or less after you're put through the grinder of a U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, and you're like playing really to the wire T2. So like that's just not going to happen.
Do you think it's in 2019, with the weight that we put on majors, do you think this is like, are you okay with him doing this?
Yeah, totally. Why? What do you want from him?
I agree. Like, and this is what I wrote. I said, look, I don't care how many Travelers Championships Brooks Koepka wins. I care a lot about how many majors, about how many U.S. Opens he wins.
Do you know how many PGA Tour wins Gary Woodland had before he won the U.S. Open? Was that a thing you knew?
Four.
He has four now?
I thought he had four going into the U.S. Open. Three?
See, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure. You know what I do know? I know he has one U.S. Open. Like, we don't know PGA Tour champion titles off the top of our head. Maybe for a few guys we do.
So, like, why even, like, play? I mean, and that this is...
Well, now we're getting to the center of, you know, the core of the earth here with this one. We don't want to.
But here's the weird thing, and this is something I've thought a lot about with Rory, and other guys too, Spieth even, is like the PGA Tour was built on, and all these tours were built on, like, hey, this is a way to make a living, right? And until recently, until Tiger came in, It was a way to make a really good living, but it's not like you could retire when you were 28. And now that you can, I just feel like the carrot that's dangled in front of these guys Brooks kind of epitomizes it, of winning PGA Tour events is just not, they're not like, what's the motivation, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, he's told us. I mean, his quote at the PGA Championship, he goes like, well, if I was at home, I would not be practicing. So it's good to get out there the week before. Like, that is a direct inference that the Nelson was a practice. It was just a reason to practice.
But then he talks about how the crooked media has run with his quotes.
No, I mean that the quotes are what they are. Put no context, put all the context you want around them. They are, the words were uttered. And then, of course, there was the RBC Canadian. The result could matter, doesn't matter. Like, I couldn't care less about what happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his words are what they are. Now he's trying to kind of maybe walk it back a little. The big tour got to him about, you know, we can't just be, you know, denigrating the other, you know, 48 weeks of the year or whatever non-major weeks there are. What's your issue? You seem to be trying to reconcile things here. Like, you seem to be like this callous indifference to the other to PGA Tour events. You seem to have an issue with it.
Well, I don't have an issue. I just think it's so weird. Because, like, if you look at another sport, if you look at the NFL or the NBA, every player that's in the NBA and NFL would say, my goal is to win the title, the Super Bowl, the Larry O'Brien, whatever it is. And if you look at golf, like, Chip McDaniel's goal is to finish T4 at the Travelers. Like, that is like the apex. And you got Koepka over here who's like, I don't even care like what I shoot here. And it's just like this weird thing where the PGA Tour means so much to most guys and so little to others that I'm having trouble like reconciling the kind of like chasm between those two things.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's what, holistically, that's what, you know, Brooks has kind of prompted me to, you know, denigrate the tour quite a bit here at the top, but the tour is holistically great because of that variance. And I think it applies in other sports. I think there are wideouts that are just trying to get, you know, 100-yard games on a team that's going 100 yards receiving on a team that's going 2-15, or a rookie in the NBA that's trying to, you know, average 20 points per game or put up 35 in a single night in a game he may or may not win for a team that's not going anywhere. There are levels, and I think Paul Azinger always talks about there are guys that are legacy players, you know, guys who are literally just playing to kind of build a legacy that will last for generations or decades beyond him. And then there are players, you know, that are just trying to make a career and fill bank accounts and get endorsement. Like, there are different approaches and different levels. And I think it's almost like, you know, holistically, what's so great about the tour is that the Chip McDaniel story is still a story. You know, it's still a great, great story. Chez Reavie winning after 11 years is awesome. Like, Gary Woodland winning at Phoenix when after he just lost a child and, like, pointing to the sky and, like, breaking up, like, killed me when that happened. Like, that's an awesome story that probably not a lot of, you know, less people care about than Brooks Koepka winning a major championship. But it is what makes the tour, like, from the sum of it, so good. Like, there are maybe a legacy guy like Koepka is indifferent to what a week at the Canadian Open can do for him. But if you're looking at the tour as a whole, there are so many great stories out there, certainly for the golf nuts.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And speaking of legacies, what this is hard. And I sort of wrestled through this at the US Open because it feels like Koepka sort of backed himself into a corner of like golf's so easy, majors are so easy. And then like if it go like what do you do or say once it goes badly? I think I posed that to it was either you or Andy, and Andy was like, "Well, when's it ever going to go badly? Like it's just going to be it's going to be awesome forever." Or maybe you said that.
Yeah, no, I mean I doubt that that's just doesn't seem sustainable. No matter how great he is, there is going to be a year or 18 months or whatever it is where he's maybe not competitive in the way he is now.
So if you start looking at like historically relevant major totals, you get past, so Spieth's at 4, Rory's at 4, or Spieth's at 3, Rory and Koepka and Ernie Els are at 4. Phil and Seve are at 5. Byron Nelson's at 5. Once you get past 6, the air gets a little thin.
Yeah.
Because like 7 is Palmer, Snead, Sarazen, Jones, Harry Vardon.
Does Rory have 4 or 5?
Rory has... He's got 5 in some quarters. Joke?
Yeah, oh yeah. Ricky has 1. Jay Day has 2. It just depends on who you ask, but... No.
Harry Vardon has okay. So Jones, Sarazen, Snead, Palmer, Harry Vardon have 7. Tom Watson has 8, and then Player and Ben Hogan have 9. Hagen has 11. Tiger 15. Jack 18. So,
Thing's screwy though. I mean, what was a major when Hagen played? Like all flexible.
Yeah, it is. But then like. If that's true, doesn't that put more emphasis on your like? Here's the thing, and this is what I love to contextualize this stuff. I love to put historical context around it. Isn't what Chez did at the Travelers more impressive than Harry Vardon winning like a 13-hole like sheep like avoiding the sheep contest? Isn't it?
I think that's an objective yes. Yeah. So I mean, so the same way like LeBron, like can you imagine Bob Cousy going up against like Steph Curry or LeBron or something like that? You know, there'd just be a disaster. But it's dumb trying to I think it is dumb trying to compare eras. Like you're right. Winning a Travelers is probably in 2019 is probably a more substantive accomplishment than whatever was going on in the turn, you know, 1925 or whatever.
There was a great question that got posed to us. I don't know if you're sitting there during Pebble just about. So somebody said, how many majors would you have starting at the beginning of like when we started counting, which is all this is. So it's just arbitrary. It's so dumb.
Right.
But
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And this whole chase for 82 thing is just a house of cards. Complete joke. I mean, Sam Snead had like 110 wins, then he had 81, then he had 82. They just like move it all around. Like event counts and what doesn't.
And Jack Nicklaus was like, I don't know. It's a right. moving target.
He's like, this isn't even a number that matters to me. Right.
So the question that got posed at the US Open was how many majors would you yourself, like you, Brendan Porath, me, Kyle Porter, have won if you had started playing majors in whenever they started, 1860, with modern equipment. So you get to take your your Callaways, your Pro V1, whatever you want. How like when would you have stopped being competitive in major? It's a fascinating question.
I was not present for that question. That's a good one. That's funny. I mean, I'm terrible at golf. I don't know.
Yeah, but
I'd have to look at some of the scores.
You wouldn't even you'd just be hitting like five irons into like par fours.
Well, that's my problem. I can't hit a five iron. I never hit a driver, but I hit a five iron. It's a fascinating question. It's unanswerable, right? I mean, it's not, you can't prove it or disprove it.
So,
but it's fun to discuss. It's fun to debate. I think this is a problem in all sports. Trying to compare eras is sort of a fool's errand.
So I think my question with all these guys, with Rory, Spieth, Brooks, can they get to seven? Like seven to me is like, it's really special. That's the Palmer, Snead, Sarazen, Bobby Jones group. And I mean, where are you at with Brooks? Is seven in play? Is it not? I mean,
it's in play by like 2020, end of 2020. I mean, I'm all in on the Brooks train, driving the bus. I'd say seven's in play for him more than anyone else of that group.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Well, somebody put out a question. Was it Jamie Kennedy? Who gets more majors the rest of the way, Brooks or a trio of Spieth, Fowler, Rory combined?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Seems disrespectful. But
it is.
Fowler, did you say?
Fowler, Spieth, Rory combined or Brooks.
So it's Spieth and Rory, basically, versus – I'm just kidding. I'm probably Brooks. No. That's disrespectful. Those are the three guys.
It is.
Disrespectful. I'd go with the other three. No, I mean, it's a great question. I'm not saying Jamie's out of line, but yeah, I'll go with the other three.
Here's the thing we're not taking into account. Brooks might just, he might eject. He might be in Redskins mini camp in like 2022.
As a ball boy? Come on. Those comps are ridiculous. What's he doing?
They're absurd, but he's absurd. Like he might think that he can do something like that.
Right. He might try like trying to become a Navy SEAL in the middle of the greatest golf ever played. Those things happen.
Yeah, exactly. Or he might go, I mean, he said, I love baseball more than I love golf.
Right.
He might be in, you know, Delaware, like grinding in the
the Delmarva Shorebirds, like class AA,
the rookie league. Who knows?
So in the same vein, the one question I'd turn to you is, what would be more impressive, getting seven majors or completing a career slam? Because there's like rare air in two different tracks.
I'm kind of over the career slam.
It kind of is like an arbitrary thing,
yeah,
right?
Because it's kind of like to me, we overrate the career slam and we underrate winning majors at really great venues. So okay. A PGA at Valhalla,
my God, you're just sitting here downgrading Rory, because I assume you're going to say Congo, U.S. Open at Congo.
Yeah, it's. I mean, so
he
it
has
happened.
Like two half majors. He only has like three total.
No, but like, here's the thing: a U.S. Open at Shinnecock, like that's like a real thing, right? Like that's like a.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah. I do. I know what you're saying.
Like I
just,
I feel like that aspect of it, the core, the venue. I don't know. I just feel like we underrated a little bit.
We'd have to go back to Tigers. You know, what did he? I feel like he won all his at like primo venues, right? He got a Valhalla one.
Yeah, Medina. I mean, it's, you know, I don't.
It's a slippery slope, but yes, there are. I think it's hard to like downgrade any of them, but I think you can elevate a few. You can elevate like a Shinnecock. You can elevate, I think, a Pebble.
Yeah.
You can, you know, elevate a Masters and places like that. I don't know.
I agree. But it gets problematic when we get to St. Andrews and ZJ winning. So
I mean, Jimmy Walker's PGA win is basically the equivalent of winning the Northern Trust at like a Ridgewood. That's about that major.
Say that again. Sorry, you broke up.
Sorry. Like, I mean, like Jimmy Walker's win at PGA win is basically the equivalent of winning the Northern Trust, right? Like, that's like we're putting that on about a FedEx Cup playoffs footing in Northern Virginia at Ridgewood or something.
Oh boy. Okay, we're running. I knew this would happen. We're running short on time. We're gonna actually.
Too many takes.
Yeah, we could go for like 2 hours. We're gonna do some Tuesday trivia. Did you guys do Tuesday trivia today at Golf Channel?
Oh yeah, I went like 2 for 8 or something. It was reverse ageism. They were doing all these like senior open questions. Oh, I don't know any of that.
That's not good. Okay, well, we're going to do a little Tuesday trivia of our own after we hear a word from our sponsor.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, Brendan, I got three Tuesday trivia questions for you. You haven't looked these up. You made a point to not look them up.
Coming in cold.
Yeah, coming in cold. The first one's pretty low key, but I'm using it more as a jumping off point to talk about the last time we saw golf in Michigan. So the question is, how many times did Tiger win the Buick Open?
This is tricky. There was a Buick Invitational, right?
Buick was sponsoring like half the tour at one point.
Buick just, sprinkling cash all over the PGA Tour. What? Gosh. Maybe that's why they went away for a few years. I'll say 4 Buick Opens in Michigan.
He won 3. Okay. But that's not – the reason I wanted to bring that up is because, obviously, Rocket Mortgage Classic this week in Detroit, first time golf has been played there since 2009 when Tiger won the Buick Open. Leaderboard is what I want to talk about.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
2009
Buick Open. I'm going to run through the top 10, which is actually 13 people. But Tiger won. Okay. He shot 71, 63, 65, 69. He won by 3. Over a trio of Roland Thatcher.
He got a couple exemptions this year. I can't react to every name. I'm sorry.
He shot a 64 on Sunday. Then the Australian duo of John Sinden and Greg Chalmers.
All right,
White E. Yang was 5th.
Ooh.
This was pre.
Pre. Yeah, it had to be, right?
It was like right before that.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
So
Ben Crane, Michael Letzig, Bob Heinz, Von Taylor, Brian Vranish, Woody Austin, John Rollins, Jimmy Walker make up your top 10.
Wow. Did Tiger's era stink?
It might have. Is Tiger overrated? My take after the break.
This is like all those Jordan, like some of those. Like clips they put out of Jordan, like dominating whoever, you know, Bob Sikma or Greg, whatever his name, you know, Greg Ostertag and people like that. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Well, who was guarding Jordan back then? But
yeah, it's like Derek Harper.
Right. These are Mavs guys.
So yeah, unbelievable leaderboard. Just some names that I'm like, I don't even. Colton Nost was in this field. John Daly shot 76, 88.
It's Jack Sigma, by the way. I'm going to get crushed for calling him Bob, I think. But anyways, go ahead. I know it's Jack. All right.
Yeah, John Daly shot 76-88. Casey Wittenberg was in this field. Webb Simpson. You know, we've kind of joked about – guys have talked about just kind of connecting these eras with different – you know, the whole thing of, like, Tiger played with Jack and Jack played with Snead. And, like, it's just – I don't know. I love looking at old leaderboards just to see who was kind of mixing it up back in the day.
Well, we saw that a little bit with Reavy, right, this week?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people tweeting about here was the leaderboard the last time Reavy won 11 years ago.
Yeah,
totally. It was, like, Anthony Kim. Like, who would have guessed – who would have a win in 2019 from that duo? Chez Reavy or Anthony Kim 11 years later?
Anyway. And DJ had his entire career between Chez wins. That's right. That's right. That was a Justin Rice special.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is insane. Okay, well, I've got other stuff on here. What else do you have notes on that you want to touch on? Do you want to do the surest bets in golf thing?
Sure.
Do you have any notes on that?
I've got all day, Kyle. Okay. I'm here for you.
Well, yeah, so we're taping this on, what is this, Tuesday at lunch, and supposed to go look at a house with my wife, and she's hollering at me. So it's not a good situation. But yeah. I do want to run through this real quick. So I put this out on Twitter on Sunday, surest bets in golf, and I only had room for six, and I want to get a couple from you. So I said Phil firing a flare over USGA headquarters during Memorial. That's a lock, right?
A lock. Every year. Yeah.
Paul Casey, T2 on Sunday at Travelers. That's what kind of sparked the
thing. Yeah, sure.
Tiger saying conditions are really tough. obviously, Brooks, top 10 at a major. Luke Donald, T2 on Sunday at the Heritage.
Yep.
And then Patrick Reed saying, I left any number between 3 and 14 shots out there.
That's a good list. I like that one.
What are you bringing? What do you got for me?
Well, there's clearly Charlie Hoffman appearing on the Masters leaderboard on Thursday, right?
Yes.
Always there. Although he might not be exempt. He's got to get hustling for an exemption. Yeah. John Peterson's monthly career change back or forth. That's sure as bet in golf. Tiger saying the greens are slow. Loves to say greens are too slow.
Couldn't judge the speeds.
A PGA Tour social media video of a kid getting an autograph from a player every week. What's that? Oh, yeah, Sergio. For, you know, trying to paper mache over the latest indiscretion. Phil saying I'm in the best shape of my life at the Bob Hope. Every Bob Hope. This is the best shape of my life. Every year out there at Palm Springs.
I've never been this flexible.
Yeah, just best shape of my life. Jason Day withdrawing from a pro-am in his PGA Tour season. Big thing he likes to do is back out of the Wednesday pro-am and then all of a sudden shoot like 64 on Thursday a day later.
It's like Torrey every year, right?
Yeah, Torrey. He's done Memorial too, I think. He just he knows how to work the system there. Rory shooting 32. On a 9 holes at the Masters that really doesn't matter, but it's only a tease every year. And then Kyle Porter prematurely tweeting the Vince Carter GIF.
I've never done it.
You've never got it wrong? Is that right?
I don't think
I've. There have been some close calls. I that's why I threw that out there. I didn't know that was a sure bet. Am I misremembering?
No, so the earliest one I ever did was 15 Masters. I did it on Friday afternoon for Spieth. Because he went like 64, 66 or something.
Yeah. Got a little close with Rose there Saturday night, right?
Well, it was Friday afternoon. I was like, what am I doing? But he held on.
So you've never gotten it wrong.
I don't think so.
All right. Good.
There might have been one. I don't know. Somebody else might remember better. But
all right.
Yeah, it's a great list. I love it.
Yeah. Yours is hard act to follow.
It's fun. I did forget two trivia questions.
Oh, yeah. What'd you got?
I only had three.
Tuesday trivia.
I only had three, and I just blazed right over them.
Seriously, you got your wife hollering at you.
Yeah, it's not a good.
I can understand.
It's not good. Can you get how many of the top five in terms of guys on the PGA Tour, top 10 finishes this year? There's five guys who are above everybody else in terms of those top 10 finishes. How many of those guys can you name for me?
So the most top 10s this year?
Most top 10s this year.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know that I can name. I'd say Gary Woodland might be in there.
Yep, he's T3.
He's feel like he's played well. Not Rory Sabatini. He has a few there. Ricky Fowler. Feel yeah. like he's got to win. This will take me all day. Tiger, not Tiger. I don't know what else. Rory McIlroy clearly because he went on that string.
He's got 11 out of 14.
Okay. So Rory and Woodland, they've got two. DJ?
No, he's like six. So Rory's got 11. John Rahm's got 9. Patrick Cantlay's got 8.
Okay.
FedEx Cup points leader Matt Kuchar has 8.
Sure.
And Gary Woodland has 8.
Yeah, I should have thought about that a little bit
more. Overrated, underrated, top ten finishes?
Probably underrated. I think it's a legit measurement of your place in the game, just how good you are. You know what I'm saying? I think more so than like a one-win season. Does that make sense? Like the names you just all rattled off, I think we would all agree are pretty much the peak of the game right now. Not it's not totally inclusive, but they are within that group, you know, or totally exclusive, I should say, but they are included within it. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like it's a pretty solid measurement of your year and how good you are in the world rankings and where you are in the game.
I bet if you lined up strokes gained overall with your top 10 finishes at the end of the year, they'd be pretty similar lists.
Yeah, sure. I think that, what do you think? Overrated?
I think they're kind of underrated, like at majors.
Sure.
I love going back and looking at top tens at majors. I think that's, you know, and Will Gray tweeted this out during the U.S. Open, and I thought he was right. Like, you know, John Rahm has a T6 at the U.S. Open that's going to look a lot better on Wikipedia in 3 years than it did during the U.S. Open. So I think there's a little bit of it is fake news, but yeah, I think top tens at majors are underrated. Okay, last one. Ricky or DJ, who has played more events on the PGA Tour?
In their career, who's played more events?
Because they're both in the field this week at Rocket Mortgage. They're kind of far and away the two best guys in the field. We've got Ricky, DJ, Hideki's in it, Woodland, your boy Shea, Patty Reed, Billy Horschel. But yeah, who's played more events in their career, DJ or Ricky Fowler?
So DJ's 35 and Ricky's 30, I believe.
Yeah.
I just turned 30. DJ just turned 35. You trying to misdirect me here? Ricky, I'll go with Ricky. Seems like he's been playing for like 11 years. DJ had to mix it up on the web a little bit.
DJ also had to take a little time away.
That's true.
DJ's played more. He's played like 255. Ricky's like 230.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, DJ's 5 years older. Okay. Yeah.
So.
All right.
Yeah, that's all I got. Anything else you want to touch on?
No. This is a pleasure, a joy. Yeah.
That's great. I apologize that I have to run. I had a bunch of questions for you about your own podcast, The Shotgun Start with Andy Johnson. I love listening to it. And, you know, I'm sure if people are listening to this, they're also listening to that as well. So have you enjoyed it? Has it been fun?
Oh, yeah. I think that's the thing that, yeah. I mean, it can be a little bit of a work and it's hanging over your head, but it's a blast. I think I don't know that we both expected it to go in that direction. We thought it would be more of a service and like a news, like in discussion, but the way we kind of hit it off and the direction we've gone, I think is unexpected, and it's really, really fun, and the people seem to be into it, kind of feeding it, and that's what we surprised us most. People are
Did Andy bet you to try to drop Rory Sabatini into this podcast?
No, No, honestly, that was a completely organic and authentic reaction. For some reason, I thought he might have been in the top five and top tens this year. That's maybe my brain has just been poisoned by doing that podcast too much. So that was a real thought that came to my head.
Rory Sabatini and Tiger Woods have the same number of top tens.
Well, there you go. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, Brendan, enjoy the rest of your week at Golf Channel, and we will listen to you on the Shotgun Start.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
See you, bud.